verses 13 through 20. Acts chapter 19, verses 13 through 20, that claims our preaching attention. And as you make your way, I would remind us it's time out for playing church. Somebody ought to say amen. If things are not well between God and yourself, today's a good day to get right with God. If you love the Lord, but you're just not in church, you ought to get yourself in church today. It may be the very last chance you get. You never know what's going to happen and when it's going to happen in your life. It's better to have the church and don't need us than to mess around here and need us and don't have us. If you got enough sense to get up and come to church, you got enough sense to come and join church while the blood still runs warm in your veins. Listen to the reading of God's word, Acts chapter 19, verses 13 through 20. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, "In the name of the Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out." Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know about, but who are you?" Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. When this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed what they had done. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. I want to talk today about unanointed activity. Unanointed activity. What a difference the crowd makes. It didn't go too well this morning. Y'all might be shouting, don't know what you're shouting about. Let's see if you shout at the end of the sermon. How many of you all understand that for you to try to fight the devil with your own power is a losing battle? You and I need divine assistance. And I assume that nobody in here is just signing up for trouble. If you had your way, the devil would cause no trouble in your life. When I looked at this text, I noticed that there were some religious people. The Bible calls them Jews. In fact, a Jewish chief priest was among them. And they tried to do what they saw Paul doing, that is, cast out demons in the name of Jesus. However, when Paul did it, demons trembled and ran. But when the unanointed did it, they ended up getting beat and humiliated and running away naked. And if you are interested in avoiding their pain, then you ought to help me unpack our thesis for today. We should avoid unanointed activity. That's the thesis. We should avoid unanointed activity. Now, the first thing I want to talk about is the danger of unanointed activity. The danger of unanointed activity. And the first thing there to talk about is a definition of anointing. Let's make sure we're all on the same page with anointing. As I'm using the term, it means to be accompanied and authorized by God. What does it mean to be anointed? It means to be accompanied and authorized by God. Now, there are several types of anointing in the Bible. For example, there is ordinary anointing. Psalms 92, verse 10. Psalms 92, verse 10. This is basically just lotioning up as you start your day, ordinary anointing. Then there is medicinal, medical type of anointing. James chapter 5, verse 14. James 5, 14. Neither of these are what we're talking about. We're talking about being accompanied and authorized by God. That type of anointing is found in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 23. 2 Samuel 5, I'm sorry, verse 3. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 3. We see the king, King David to be precise, being anointed. Then in Exodus 28, verse 41, Exodus 28, 41, we see that the priests were anointed. In these cases, king and priest, anointing meant that the person being anointed is accompanied by and authorized by God to carry out the given assignment. Accompanied and authorized to be king for the king, authorized and accompanied to be the priest in the case of the priest. Now, that first part of the definition, anointing means to be accompanied by God. I want to hover over that for a minute and share with you my praise report. I'm thankful for the permanent accompaniment of the Holy Spirit, because there are people in your life and in mine who tell us that they will be with us until the end. And the truth of the matter is, they will only be with us until the bend. They say, no matter what, come what may, I got your back. But if you're not careful, they will have your back all right. They'll be the one with the dagger in your back. There are people who will be with you until your money gets funny. There are people who will be with you until your health begins to fail. That's why the marriage vow says, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. That's why it's dangerous to marry anybody, because you like their hips, you like their thighs, you like their breasts, you like their big broad chest, because time has a way of moving some stuff around. I wish I had a witness here. And then sickness can sneak up on anybody in the room. But there are some who, if you get sick on them, out of sight, out of mind. And then there are others who will roll with you as long as you live up to their expectation, be it being white enough or black enough or whatever their expectations of you may be. As long as you can meet their bar, you are their boy, you are their girl. But when you miss that bar of expectation, they will abandon you. But what I love about God, the Holy Spirit, is He does not abandon us. Even when we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, even when we have messed up from the floor up, the Holy Ghost stays with us. I heard Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. If you give me a minute here, we oftentimes talk about how we are sealed until the day of redemption. That's good, but that's the B portion. And even I know you can't get to B without passing through A. A says that it's possible for us to grieve the Holy Spirit. But when we grieve him, he does not leave us. For he is a God who cannot lie. If he said he's going to be with you until the day of redemption, then no matter how messed up your life may be, you can count on God for permanent accompaniment. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about that because some of y'all would leave me if you knew me. But the Holy Ghost never leaves me. There are people sitting around you who think you are a good church person, but if they knew the real you, they would get up and move their seat right now. But the Holy Ghost, who knows the real you, seals you and indwells you until the day of redemption. I'm excited about that because as long as the Holy Ghost is with me, I think I can make it. I said, as long as the Holy Ghost is with me, I think I can make it. It'd be nice to have Holy Ghost and others, but if I can't have Holy Ghost and others, then just give me the Holy Ghost and we'll work it out from here. And I'm excited about the fact that I can't mess up enough to make him leave me. I might grieve him. I might make him sorry to be in me, but he'll never leave me because nothing I do surprises him. He knew before he got in me what he had to work with. He saw the end from the beginning, and he loved me enough to indwell me and seal me until the day of redemption. I'm excited about being accompanied permanently by the Holy Spirit. But there's a second part to the definition. It is not just to be accompanied by God, but it is to be authorized by God. And here too many of us turn left. God has a plan, and all of us have a part to play in the plan. He has anointed, authorized us to play our part in the plan. When you stray from what you've been assigned to do, you have strayed into unanointed, unauthorized activity. Are y'all listening to me here? And I think you need to give this some thought. I'm talking about unanointed activity now. Because we have free will, we can mess around here and choose to engage in unanointed activity. You have the power to choose. Joshua 24:15 says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Implicit in Luke 9:23, if any man will come after me, is the fact that we can choose to come after him or not. You and I can choose to follow the anointing, or we can choose to stray from the anointing. The question becomes, why would anybody stray from the anointing? Why would anybody try to do what they have not been authorized to do? One possibility is it may have been envy. The Jews, especially the priests, may have looked at how much attention Paul got and decided they wanted to have that kind of attention as well. The Jewish priest may have said, well, I'm just as much a man. I'm just as much an exorcist. I'm just as much a religious figure as Paul is. He's not all of that. And therefore, his envy caused him to stray into unanointed activity. Or maybe it wasn't that deep. It may have just been pure ignorance. It's possible that the Jews said to themselves, we already have a track record for casting out evil spirits, according to verse 13. They just did not understand what would happen when they included the name of Jesus. And you know, it's possible that I'm talking to somebody right now who does not understand what happens when you include the name of Jesus. And it's not hard to picture people being ignorant of this, especially if you never come to Bible study, never come to Sunday school, never studied the Bible, not hardly paying attention right now. It would be easy for me to picture you not understanding. But I'm here to tell you, the devil is always looking for unanointed, ignorant folk. He's always trying to take out the weakest link. Can I tell you this about the devil? He's not trying to hurt you. He's trying to kill you. I'm talking about danger right now. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter 5, 8 talks about how the devil is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, Ephesians 6, 16, it talks about putting on the whole armor of God, especially the shield of faith, so we can guard against the fiery or the poisonous darts of the devil. Now, you don't throw poisonous fiery darts just to hurt somebody. When you're throwing a fiery or a poisonous dart, you're trying to kill somebody. The devil is not our friend. He's always trying to kill us. If he doesn't cause problem in our finances, he tries to show up in our relationship. If he doesn't show up in our relationship, then he tries to show up in our mental health. But he's never our friend. Now, what I love about God is that the anointing does not keep us from all trouble, but it can dull and reframe the pain of this life. For example, you would have to be sleeping up under a rock somewhere not to have heard about the Boston Marathon bombing. Some kids, apparently young folk, got together and set off some bombs in a devilish pressure cooker or something, killed some folk, maimed some other folk, traumatized other people. Whether you are anointed or not, you would have to admit this is a gruesome and terrible situation. But the anointed, after they process the trauma of the situation, will grow to understand God is able to work all things out for the good of those who love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. And all things include even such a hideous situation as the Boston Marathon bombing. After we get over the emotional shock, our anointing brings us up to a higher level where pain has a purpose. But the unanointed are not so. Those with no God in their life have pain without purpose. And when pain has no purpose, if you let it keep running its course in your mind, you can find yourself in all kinds of dysfunctional places. You can become paranoid and think that everywhere you go is going to be another bomb. I'll never run in the Boston Marathon again because it might be another bombing. I'm not going to run in any marathon because it might be another bombing. I'm not even going to go outside because it might be another bombing. When you don't have the anointing, your own shadow can scare you. But the anointing can dull and reframe the pain of life. And then it's not in the text, but let me just throw it in while we're in the neighborhood. Not only can the devil cause pain and suffering in your life when you are engaged in activity you are not authorized to carry out, but the devil can chastise, God can chastise you for engaging in unanointed activity. If you don't believe me, ask the brothers and sisters in Numbers chapter 14. Numbers 14, 39 through 45, it was a group of Jews that wanted to take over some land. Moses was the leader of the day, and he told them, listen, God is not with you. Don't y'all go up there and mess with those people. You need to stay down here where the Lord wants you to be. And you can hear them saying, well, look, now, us done had us as a meeting. And in us as meeting, we done decided we're going up here. Now, you come if you want to, but we us is going up here. We're going to take this land. And they took themselves on up that hill. And they went up there without the anointing. And they got up there and got beat it, came down with all kinds of casualties, had all kinds of trauma in their life. And I can see Moses at the bottom of the hill. Didn't I tell y'all you have to take yourself up there? It's dangerous to operate outside the anointing. If you don't believe the people of Numbers 14, come up to Numbers 16, 28 through 34, and talk to a brother by the name of Korah. Korah was one of the officers who went out and got a coup together to try to take Moses out. And by the time the story ends, the Lord had opened the mouth of the earth and swallowed up Korah and his crew. Did y'all even know the earth had a mouth? The Lord opened the mouth of the earth, swallowed up Korah and his crew. And some of y'all looking at me like, no, that ain't in the Bible. Stop embarrassing yourself and just make a note of this. This is Numbers chapter 16, verse 28 through 34. Take my word until you get to it. Act like you're going to read that today in your study sometime. Some of y'all looking like, no, Reverend, that didn't happen. That happened in the Bible, babies. Read the Bible. Here is a man who thought that because he had the numbers on his side, that he could just do what seemed right to him. And when God got finished with him, he and his crew were swallowed by the earth. I told you it's dangerous to operate outside of your anointing. But then I close by telling you that God uses unanointed activity. Are y'all still here? We've been talking about anointing and how there is a such thing as unanointed activity, and it's dangerous to engage in such. Now I'm talking about God's usage of unanointed activity. What good comes out of this text? Well, one thing good is the wayward were chastised. Those who were wrong, when God got ready, they were chastised. Now, the good thing about that is, if you're doing what the Lord told you to do, and you got people acting a fool around you, you don't have to lose any sleep about that. When God get ready, he know how to handle all of this drama and foolishness around you. You don't have to come down and act a fool with a fool, because a fool gonna always beat you being a fool. They got more practice than you got. You need to stay up here on higher ground and trust that the Lord will make a way somehow. But not only were the wayward chastised, here's something good that came out of it. The receptive repented. The people who were receptive to the move of God repented of their sins. Now these people, they've grown beyond lip service, because the Bible says that they brought 50,000 drachmas worth of books that were dedicated to sorcery. And they burned up all of these books. So I had to get my mind around, now how much money are we really talking about? So they had a footnote that says, well, that's about 50 pieces of silver. That didn't help me a whole lot. I didn't know how much a piece of silver cost, so 50 pieces didn't help me. Then I read that this represents about 138 years of a rural farmer's pay. 50 pieces of silver or 50,000 drachma equals 138 years of a rural farmer's pay. So I asked myself, well, how much would a rural farmer make? And I said, well, maybe they make about $30,000 a year. And then I said, okay, so $30,000 a year times 138 years, man, that's over $4 million worth of sorcery books. Now, most of us don't have no sorcery books, but think about this, $4 million worth of dream books. horoscope books, number books. Amen. $4 million worth of those books. And this was their way of saying, Lord, we're serious about being on the Lord's side. Can't you see how God had his way anyhow? Now, can I tell y'all why I'm shouting already? Because this tells me that no matter how much unanointed activity is going on around me, God is going to have his way anyhow. The devil can play all of his games, set all of his traps, but God is going to work around unanointed activity. Whatever God has for you, it is for you. And can't devils in hell stop God from getting his blessing to you. So as I hear City Hall debate, what will they do with the pension fund? And as I hear the discussion about the streetcar decision, I'm thankful I got so much more going for me than the deliberation of the city council. I got a God who can work around unanointed activity. But then here's the third thing that happens in this text. God was glorified. Not only were the wayward chastised, not only were the receptive repentant, but God was glorified. The text says, when the Jews and the Greeks who lived in Ephesus heard about what had happened with the unanointed Jews, not only were they seized with fear, but the Bible says the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. And then the latter part of verse 20 says, in this way the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. Children, I'm wondering, is it anybody here that knows that the word of God is still spreading and growing in power? I know everywhere I go, there's some Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday people. People who claim that the word of the Lord came to them on their special day. You can't go anywhere without finding some folk who claim the word got to them on a Sunday morning. And I'm not hating on y'all, it is what it is, but my day is Thursday. It was one Thursday night that the word spread and reached out and became real in my life. But listen, it didn't just spread out into my life. I came by to tell you it's growing right now in my life. It's still a work in progress. On that Thursday night, I did discover that the wages of sin is death. And I was so thankful to hear that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That was a marvelous Thursday night. But after that Thursday night, I learned that he's also my bread and my living bread. And he is my living water. In other words, he fuels and sustains my spiritual energy. When it seems as if I cannot go another further, I can always come back to this living bread and drink of this living water. And then I found out that God really is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And then I discovered that he gives you joy in the time of sorrow. And he'll give you peace in the time of confusion. And he'll give you hope in the time of despair. His word is still growing in me. His word corrects me when I'm wrong, comforts me when I am weary, directs me when I am lost. I gotta come in now, children, but find yourself in the sermon. If you are guilty of unanointed activity, we don't need a long explanation. All you got to do is tell the Lord, I'm sorry. Help me, help me. Oh, help me to do what's right. I'm a witness, children. If you go to God without an explanation and just tell the Lord, I'm sorry for all I've done wrong. Please help me, help me, help me do right from here on. The Lord will give you another chance. Find yourself in the sermon, children. If you're not guilty of unauthorized and unanointed activity, if you believe you move in the anointing, you're doing what the Lord has called you to do. Hear your word. Praise God for his long suffering. Praise God for allowing you to grow in your anointing. Because if we told the truth, we haven't always been where we are right now. There were times we were outside of the anointing. There have been times we were not even accompanied by the Holy Spirit. And then after we got saved, there have been some things we said we were not authorized to say. And we've been some places we were not authorized to go. We've done some things we were not anointed to do. But by the grace of God, here we are in the anointing. Lord have mercy. And then if you think you're on the right road, going the right way, please, please let the Lord do a good work through your life. That's why you've been anointed. You have not been anointed just to feel good, but you've been anointed to do good. Oh Lord, and if you could see all that God has on your lips, you would not try to add anything to the list. Come on, children, help me read the list. We've already been anointed to do all of this. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's already on the list. Ye shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the world. Is already on the list to give drink to those who are thirsting, to give fruit to those who are hungry, to give clothes to those who are naked, to visit those who are lonely, already on the list to enter his gate with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. Is already, already, already on the list, to be the light of a dark world, to be the salt in the midst of decaying. Let the Lord, let the Lord do a great work in your life. That's all, children. Thank you for your time, which y'all please come on back to the 4 o'clock hour. Gotta wrap up here, gotta serve communion, but I need a little help, I need a little help, I need a little help to help me close up here. Just look over and tell your neighbor, God will, God will, God will take care, take care, take care, take care of you, take care of you, take care of you. Oh, hey, oh, hey. Oh, yes, he will. Oh, yes, he will. He may not come when you want him. He may not come with what you want him to have. But oh, hey, wait on him. Wait on him. Wait on him. He will come. He will come right on time with the right stuff. God will. God will. Ah, yeah. God will take care of you. I wouldn't fool you like this. I've tried him too many times. Now, I'm the first to tell you, he may not come when you want him. But if you wait on him, if you stay in the pocket and just wait on him, he got a way of showing up at the right time. And when he comes, he brings the right stuff with him. He'll make a way somehow. Would you stand? The invitation is extended to you. If things are not well between God and yourself, you really ought to come and get right with God today. If you know you need the Lord in your life, you will not play with God. Just step out in the aisle and come on right now. If you know you need to get yourself in church, you ought to come right now. Just step out in the aisle and come on right now. Don't let the devil talk you out of this. If you know you need to come, would you come right now? The door is open. The invitation is extended to you. After all of the hollering, all of the screaming,